Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 166, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. 15 days until January 20th. Zero new COVID cases in New Zealand yesterday. Zero deaths since late September. And the U.S. is a mess. It's just a mess. We'll just leave it at that. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles and Jack are back again. Done our 2021 thing. Psych ain't got it going on. Not that Trump is almost gone.
Oh, look, man. That fucking song. Never skipped a beat. No. I was like, wow. This is swag. How much our idea has changed. I'm like, damn, he really came. No, never missed a beat.
Whoa, anyway, voice.
Shout out to, let me see on the Discord. That was from Garblo Jones.
Shout out to Garblo Jones. Big fan of his work. Garblo.
Shout out to Garblo.
Greta Garblo. Well, Miles.
Yeah.
We're back.
It's
been a while. We took a break from the show, from each other.
Real touch and go there. It's
great to see you. Great to hear your voice.
Likewise.
All right. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Chelsea Weber Smith.
Ayo.
Ayo.
Chelsea, where are you coming to us from? What part of the earth are you at?
I am in Seattle, and it's been raining for 2 weeks, I think. You can't really walk any. Yeah, it's real depressing here. So all you can do is
does
sit
that
in your
contribute
basement.
To people's ability to socially distance, or do you feel like in a place like that where you're accustomed to the rain, it's not much of a factor?
Well, I feel like you're not going outside as much, right? So it feels like maybe you're going to try to get whatever with people inside. So maybe that's bad, but I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
None of us are.
Hey, I'm no scientist.
I'm no scientist, but it's been raining.
Yeah, there was a, speaking of the rain, there was this article. First of all, there was a rainstorm in LA that had people on Twitter being like, what is this madness? What is this water falling from the sky? But it was like extra violent, and LA is not prepared. Like, it's just not built for that much rain. No. I had left two of my trash cans on the curb, and they were down the street and around the corner. They like got washed away. It was wild.
I swear. Oh, like I swept to, like, away?
Yeah, they got swept away. But just,
I don't know, in my mind, like the storm was so, they became sentient and were like, fuck this.
We gotta
we're
go.
Yo. But there's a there was an article, I have to figure out what magazine it was in, but over the 2 weeks that we weren't recording, about how every like 200 years there's like this massive rainstorm in Southern and Central California.
It's up north, the one that's we got to worry about.
Oh, it's bad, man. It's wild.
Because it could wipe out the capital, the entire Central Valley. And it's, oh yeah, it's always been, it's like this horrific thing I used to always smoke weed and think about in college.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
with my other like trip, like edgelord friends are like, nah, man, the thing we got to worry about is that delta up there flooding in a huge flood. And then what happens? Yeah, it's a. Yeah.
It's bad for Central Coast. It's also bad for just everywhere because that's they grow like
the food.
An unprecedented amount of food. It's also bad for lots of other parts of California because of all the, you know, chemicals that are used on the farms up there. So those will just flood everywhere and then dry up and turn into poison dust. Anyways,
what do you think like teenagers right now who are smoking weed, because I did the same thing, except I had a little bit of an apocalypse prepper dad, and so I still have an apocalypse prepper vibe, don't worry, within reason,
For sure,
but you know, casual but what are they thinking now? What are those kids who are getting too high, you know, alone in their house? Like,
it's way more hardcore.
Oh, I feel so. Yeah, I have a lot of empathy for teens right now because I would be tripping if I couldn't see my friends and I couldn't do.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like you would be smoking weed and the kind of thoughts you have given like the world. You're like, you know, like with automation, man, like what if we're not even smoking the weed anymore after this? You know what I mean?
We're fully in the simulation. Right.
And, and then like you have that moment where you're like, is all I have to offer to smoke weed to differentiate me from the automatons? Oh, man. Yeah, definitely don't. A terrible time to be a young and nihilistic, I would say.
Mm. Absolutely.
Chelsea, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to catch up on the stimulus checks, where we're at with the $600 and the blocking of the $2,000 stimulus checks in the United States. The Senate hangs in the balance over a election happening in Georgia today. And Trump was caught on tape just straight up asking for the Georgia Secretary of State to find votes to make him the winner in Georgia, which is wouldn't even win him the election. But yeah, and then we'll talk about Hilaria Baldwin. We'll talk about Bean Dad. We'll talk about Wonder Woman 84. Hilaria. We'll talk about Dunkin' Donuts. They got a new hyper extra supercharged coffee that I'm excited about. All of that, plenty more, but Chelsea, first, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
What do I have here for you? It's all of it is so weird for what I do for the podcast, but today I got for you Disney villains, gay drag queens. All right.
So, I mean, first, explain.
Yeah, hit it.
American Hysteria. Your show,
sure.
Talking about, you know, one we were saying before off mic, Jack loves little satanic panic, moral panic, you know, mass hysteria. Is it psychology? Is it science? And that's kind of that's what you focus on. That's kind of your bag right now.
And what's so cool is that Cracked was one of my original inspos for learning about the satanic panic. I mean, you guys had like kind of like good listicles about different, you know, moral panics and stuff. And that was a really, I got yeah. ideas from you, man. So it's really cool.
Okay. So but yeah, should be coming soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, you're not gonna like how much it is.
That doesn't matter. It all adds up. That's our mentality.
Yeah, baby. Right. Yeah.
No
yeah.
donation too small in this church.
truly.
But I was asking you. I was like, what kind of rabbit hole? I'm guessing you were saying, well, let's talk about it on the show. What's in your what's going on in there?
Well, so yeah, we cover a lot of conspiracy theories and moral panics, but eventually we kind of have moved into sort of a bigger picture of like how American narratives and how sort of our national mythologies come to be, whether that be political or like pop culture. And so we're doing a lot more pop culture. And so right now, I'm focusing on trash talk shows. So, you know, Jerry Springer, Geraldo, sort of the classic fist fight stuff that people really, there was like a big outcry about. Yeah. And so, you know, I went in just being like, oh, these are such great vehicles of hysteria. That's what our season's about. Because they spread moral panics. You know, I mean, Geraldo had his satanic panic special. But, you know, I figured I'd already talked about all that stuff in different ways. So I started reading these academic texts, which I love to do, about, you know, trash talk shows and their cultural value. And I just found so much about visibility in talk shows and about how, you know, people who were gender nonconforming, for example, had no venue. And even though they were ridiculed on these shows, it was the one place where someone was letting them speak for themselves. Right. And so it's just like all about how activists would sneak in their messages and they would actually train each other to go on talk shows to say, okay, you're going to get made fun of. People are going to, you know, whoop and yell and be really mean to you, but you're going to have this like 15 seconds where you can say your piece, and they would get a bunch of letters after. But the problem was is that white supremacists also did that. I don't know if you guys remember the fist fight of Geraldo fame of you know, Roy Innes, the black activist, and the skinhead dude. So it's just this, and then they would get their message, their moment, and they trained each other about how to be on talk shows. So it's just this like so much richer than just being like, ooh, it's like a mother-daughter dominatrix team.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I always find a lot more than I think, you know, it always has a lot of value that I didn't at all expect. So that's been my big rabbit hole. And, you know, there's so much about class and it is a rabbit hole, but you guys can listen to that episode. So
it's coming out. Cause I feel like it almost when you're young and you watch shows like that, it almost sets your expectation for where society is in terms of a given issue. It's like, wait, someone is having sex with their stepdaughter, but they're not related. Boo!
Yeah.
Like, right. Okay, that's boo. And then you're like, oh, a trans person, like maybe being on the low, and then the deception. Back then, it's like you were trained to be like, that's deception!
Yeah.
What the fuck? Because that was like the thing. And I think it's a really underrated way of, even if you're like, oh, these people, this is bullshit. But it has this effect of like the spectacle of it all and being like, oh, that's the reaction the mass group is having to this thing.
It's just pure uncut judgment. It's like the actual physical embodiment of like public opinion, right?
But think about it as like a Twitter thread, right? Everybody's coming on and like basically getting in fist fight, like verbal fist fights, and but it's like this horrible and wonderful democratic thing, right? But it's so complicated because we don't know it's too dangerous, but we want to protect free speech, and it's just this like total. For me, it's just a talk show now, but it's a global, all no holds barred talk show that like spills into the streets now when, you know, people are getting in like Antifa, Trump supporter fist fights.
We made like Twitter of a talk show. How much that would ease people up to be like, I just watched the talk show version where the white supremacist is going to go with the, you know, anti-capitalist, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And just kind of watch that and be like, huh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way to do it too.
Yeah, but like, I mean, what if we saw each other's faces again too? You know, like that's like a very human thing to miss when you're talking to someone, your facial expressions and
budding ethno-nationalists are like, that guy's not that cool looking actually.
Yeah, he's kind of a dink. Yeah,
yeah, like the Captain America with like red laser eyes avatar is way cooler than this whatever I'm witnessing. Okay,
edgelord tweets. Yeah,
maybe I'll go back to my reading group.
Chelsea, how does that all tie back to Disney villains?
Oh yeah.
Oh God, right. Well, that's our next episode is called Disneyfication. So how we've kind of cartoonized our culture and ourselves, and infantilization is a big theme of, you know, childhood being a really new thing that really didn't exist like as a period of time until after child labor laws were passed. And that's like the 20s and 30s. And you get this, like, the child becomes precious. You know, you get stuffed animals instead of, you know, we make soft all of these hard things. So that's kind of what that is. And then, of course, the sort of revisionist history is another part of it, and softening our history of, you know, genocide, slavery, whatever you want. You know, all of it is kind of there in Disney, but it's just like made into like a stuffed animal version. Right, then the Disney villains is mostly, that's a fun one, because if you go back and you think about all of the Disney villains, they're either very effeminate or they're very like drag queeny, you know, like, you know, Ursula is
their eyebrows
based
are always on point.
Dude, oh baby, yeah. And I mean, like, Ursula is based on Divine. So, like, literally, period.
Very
and
wait,
no,
holy, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. Oh, yep.
Isn't that so? Yeah. It's like, oh, duh. Right, right. Right. And so there's just like this thread. And, you know, the lyricist Jafar is, I don't know, but he's just, you know, he's
yeah,
just
Jafar
very
is,
like,
he's
yeah.
giving me something.
Yeah.
And I was
it's
like,
gay vibes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like very gay. And I mean, Scar, right?
Yes.
He's
Scar
just a super, super homo. And I mean, I think of Gaston. He's my personal favorite Disney character. So that's problematic. But, yeah, you know, it's just, he's just like throwing himself back on the chair and showing his, you know, I use antlers in all of my decorating. And so just sort of like, what's that about too? Like the effeminate. Because that's also a theme in horror, right? Is like the cross-dressing, you know,
right.
Ed Gein inspired psycho villain. So it's just, I'm just like, what we do is we just go in every direction possible. And then I find like the root, and then we chisel it all down. So right now, gay Disney villains is my
jam.
You're at. It's where I'm at, baby. Yeah.
In the chiseling. Mm-hmm. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated is I talked about it already. I talked about talk shows, and that was my what I'd written down. So I ruined my thing already. but yeah, I mean, it's just such a, I recommend this book, Freaks Talk Back. And of course, I'm going to forget the guy's name because I'm an asshole, but it's really great. And it's just he's a gay academic and I think maybe a philosopher. So it's just this really fun book about, and it talks
Joshua
about freak shows. Gamson, thank you so much. Yeah. And talks about freak shows and kind of compares sort of the visibility for people with disabilities that existed, because we look back and like pity this thing, which is also really like kind of gross, because these folks had a lot more agency than we give them credit for, you know? And so we just, it's sort of about like, you know, middle class pity and all of these different things. So that's, I found that trash talk shows are severely underrated, at least as a cultural study.
Mm. Yeah. What's something you think is overrated?
The flight attendant, show. Have you guys watched it at all?
No, but the only take I hear from people is being like, damn, I started watching The Flight Attendant, as if it's like tortured. No one's been unequivocal. It's always been like,
really?
It's bad. Or it's like, it's so bad, it's good, but I don't know. I can't stop watching. So I'm like, is it? What?
But it's got like a friggin' like 98% or something on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's like, everything I've seen on Twitter is people just being like, I'm obsessed with this. It's so good.
Yeah,
it's
I've
so
seen
good.
A very positive reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I kept falling asleep, and I kept like, you know, coming into my partner's just, you know, I'm asking her like, what the fuck is going on every 1 minute. And so eventually we just couldn't, like, my brain just doesn't do well with that type of thing where you have to remember so many different facets.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's a comic book style. Like, I mostly watch like melodramatic murder shows starring teenagers, you know, like or like a Euphoria or like Degrassi or Jersey Shore. Those are
Cobra
my,
Kai.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jersey
no,
Shore,
I have,
one of
I
my
have
favorite
not watched
murder
that
shows.
Yet. Yeah, I mean, almost.
Basically.
There's some
serious
fights.
I mean, when Ron got in that fight on the boardwalk, I mean, remember, that was almost a murder, bro.
It was a one-hit like he was one hitter, he was a KO, bro. Baby. Just yeah. And he ran away just like
I remember being like, that's right, bro, one hitter, bro.
Yeah. I know you can't help it. You're just like Yeah, get
you're
it.
Up.
Run,
and I
run.
Mean how much like that is it's trash talk shows taken to another level where it's just like we want to see this fist fight, but we're not allowed to have fist fights, but we're like, but I'll watch a fist fight. It's but yeah, so flight attendant, sorry.
My assumption based on like the things I had heard was that it was more of like a straightforward like murder mystery, but it's by the dude who made Riverdale, and apparently
apparently there's
some of that.
But it's Chelsea's like, back in.
I'm back.
I've heard it's heightened, kind of like it's where it's just sort of a weird poppy reality.
The person who made Riverdale surely couldn't have written something that was slightly exaggerated.
Right.
The melodrama of that show is so huge, and I love it.
I just started watching Bridgerton. I know, I finished Bridgerton. I finished the Shonda Rhimes, her new Netflix vehicle. That was some shit. I've never seen, I'm not even going to talk, we'll have to talk about it. People need to, it's weird. This shit is... I don't know. I have a lot of
ideas. Tried to get started on that, and my wife was not interested in it. She wasn't feeling that one. But I from what I've heard, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
We watched Narcos Mexico instead, and that shit.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. So the $600 stimulus checks are in the mail. The IRS is going to be putting up a website where you can track whether where your check is at, or they were entering people's bank accounts direct deposit over the past couple of days. And there was a strange political occurrence where both Democrats and Donald Trump were kind of on the same page about the idea of a $2,000 stimulus. And then it got blocked by Republicans and also like some establishment Democrats, right?
Yeah, Mitch McConnell is really, really making a meal of it more than right. anything. And it was funny even to hear Lindsey Graham try and be like, $2,000 isn't socialism, guy. It's people need right. the money. And I'm like,
right.
And I was like, shut the fuck up. Wait, what? Like, I couldn't believe where people were ending up at the towards the end of the year on this thing where again, the calculus was really strange for some Republicans who were like who were acknowledging the suffering of people, and then others who were like, you know, usually scheduled programming, which is like, I don't know, I'm too rich to know what the blight of the working people are. So yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah. Venmo though, they're doing their part. You could, if you have a physical check, you can cash through Venmo.
Oh, too. Dope.
They're trying to make it as easy as possible because people need the money fucking yeah, immediately. Absolutely. And yeah, they should be like, yeah, why don't you avoid going into a check cashing line or something like that in the time of COVID or something
yeah.
like let's make this as easy as possible. But yeah, the debate around it was really, really odd because on one hand, you're like, okay, so either Trump, you know, I think maybe he's merely just taking this side to make it as chaotic for Republicans because he's mad at them. Because he surely never actually like had any kind of empathy for these people, for anyone, really. Right. So,
yeah, he's incapable of that. Well, so those are the that's one example of the stakes of today's election. There are two Senate seats in Georgia that are up for grabs. I have no idea what's going to happen. Nobody has any idea what's going to happen. Is something that we learned in the 2020 election. Yeah,
just floor it, y'all. Just floor it, you know.
Yeah,
don't look at the polls. We just gotta floor it. And every election is just floor it. Who cares?
Man, I accidentally made friends with a Trump supporter recently. It was one of those things where it didn't come out. It's so weird how long you can know someone before you know that, like how much you can have in common with someone, and then suddenly it's like, ooh, like there's just like it's so like poison. And all of a sudden he realized. That not, you know, he was a Christian conservative and I didn't know it. And he realized that I was gay and a bunch of other, you know, things like I was a liberal. And he was terrified of it. He was so scared of me. And he was like, you know, like you guys, like if you flip the Senate, you're going to have total control. And he was terrified. Like we were going to do something, you know, and I mean, it's conspiracy theories, right?
It's of course,
that's all it is. But it was just really weird because we're all in our bubbles. I don't talk to Trump supporters very often. And it was like, I'm a small little person, and there was like true fear of like a liberal person. Yeah, yeah, it was bizarre. It was really strange.
Yeah,
but then I felt a little powerful too.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, then you better fucking watch it, bud.
Yeah, back up.
Who knows how Antifa. I'm gonna? Oh man, I'm gonna make you wear all kinds of weird clothes, bro.
Oh, yeah,
you got no idea.
You're a woman now.
Well, I mean, because like, whenever I trawl the conservative message boards and websites and think comment sections, just because that's always where I get a taste of where they're at. Like when they're talking to each other about their common shared fears, much how liberal people do, of being like, oh, I'm afraid of like revocation of rights for people, you know, being deported, not being seen as human because of my gender identity or present to whatever, etc. But over there on that side, it is the FEMA camps are about to go up.
Yep.
Wait till they round you up and you're mandatory estrogen. It's like, and I know it's like half flippant, but the energy is there to at least keep talking about it. So if you don't legit believe that, I'm not sure what it is. But their news media has done a great job of spinning the pursuit of equality into some kind of like aggressive act to take your life, because that's how they're looking at things.
Yeah, if they became you become a victim so you can be an abuser, right? That's like pretty classic. Yeah,
I feel like the dissonance is like they at least a portion of them have to be aware of the fact that the things they are claiming out loud are the threats are not the thing they're actually afraid of. And the thing they're actually afraid of is you know, the things that white supremacists say out loud, like losing ground.
White genocide.
Exactly.
Or that even that this whole thing that they deny till the ends of their lives, white supremacy, systemic racism, whatever, is real.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's, I think there's people who are still even guarding themselves from saying that's real.
Yeah.
And I think there's even that level. Some people are like, it's real and whatever. Like, but I'm not racist. That's one form of it, quote unquote. And then there are other people like, no, no way. Because then what? So I have things because of just who I, how I, no.
Yeah. But my parents got divorced once.
Exactly. Like, yeah,
I don't have privilege.
It's like that all over.
Yeah. Chelsea, you mentioned bubbles. And I do, one way that I think this election is interesting is it's our first since 2020, which, I mean, we should have known, but I think definitively proved that polls are just, you know, they were just a thunder vest that we were wearing to make ourselves feel better or feel like we had some grasp on what was happening out there. And I think it's especially, you know, because I think there's a realization that we are all in these social media edited bubbles that give us distorted versions of reality, like things like polls. I think people want something like that. But it's just interesting because like 538 for most of this election, like wasn't even putting up a like aggregator. And it's just, I think people have just generally like given up on polls because they were so fucked in the 2020 presidential election that it's over for that.
I think it's like our divining, you know, like humans want to like divine things and like try to tell the future. And that's just, it's just like our official version of trying to, you know, like tarot cards or something.
Yeah. But the Democrats need to turn out the vote like more than they did in the presidential election. So it's it's an uphill battle for
sure. All the numbers that they can parse through are like the ones that indicate at the very least a lot of energy down there. Don't know how it's going to split. It split the right way for the right people last time, but this time I don't know, just like fucking pedal to the metal, y'all.
It's gonna be crazy. It's just like, I don't know, it's so crazy.
It's tough too, because the other part of it is, again, we're seeing the same group of activists and organizers who were turning people out for the presidential back to work for this runoff. And I'm just, you know, this is going to bring up the conversation again of who knows how people are responding on the ground. Is it the Nancy $900,000 refrigerator crew, or is it activists who are having the same lived experiences as the people that are voting? And I have a feeling if there's a way to actually, you know, even fucking split, get at the very least, if we can get to 50-50, I mean, that's what we'd have to do anyway to win both seats. But to get there, I would have to really bring this discussion up again. Because while there are, you know, John Ossoff likes to say like he's, you know, for one thing one day and then against it the other, because he's a politician trying to get elected and not really like a person of like pure conviction trying to enter office. Like, he's a politician. Like, what that means going forward and who we're actually giving greater influence to. But I don't know. We're clearly seeing the establishment wants to hold on to that ball as long as possible.
Yeah. I mean, an additional sort of factor or variable that entered the equation over the weekend was that the president, Donald Trump, was caught on tape just like straight up asking for the Georgia Secretary of State to find votes to make him winner in Georgia.
Winner, chicken dinner, everything.
Yeah.
But would that even make a difference? Would Georgia make a difference?
That's what... The question that occurred to me was, so does he have this already somewhere else? Like,
it's 308 is what Biden has. So he would go down to 290. And I'm sorry, you need some other ones too. Yeah. But I guess in those states, there's too many Democrats there and other like Republicans or people with spines who are like, oh, no. So, yeah, that is not going to happen.
But he's sowing the idea, and that's the dangerous part, right? It's like he's sowing to the people, like if he were to somehow get Georgia flipped, then it would make everything right. illegitimate.
Yeah, it would start the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. just listening, because again, here's the thing. It's this is another one of those examples where we're laughing at the attempted coup.
Yeah.
Because yeah. this we have the most low energy coup on the in the history of mankind, in the form of just like suggesting like Aziz Ansari on a date, like what you're into, like right, just like a very creep, like what are you saying, dude? This is very uncomfortable. Because you're asking someone to completely commit fraud. And I just want to play this clip or parts of it where I don't know how what psych like rhetorical strategy the president is. I forget it. Why am I even trying to think there is some rhetorical strategy?
Nope.
Just fucking listen to this.
Numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. You know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
I mean, wow, dude, Brett, that Raffensperger has been probably waiting for that moment. He's been doing push-ups to just clap back with that. It sounds like what every bureaucrat like would love to say when like the numbers are on your side and you're like, I'm sorry, but what you're talking is straight.
The
shit,
challenge
my man.
You have,
yeah. yeah.
There's a the, so there's one problem with that approach is that it's not true. The numbers you have are completely wrong.
Yeah, he's saying like I need you to find these 11,000 votes.
So look, all I want to do is I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have because we won the state. That is, yeah. So he lost okay. by 11,779. So he's just like, give me the extra vote.
Just give me one. Then say you're recalculating. That's all I need. And then I will deploy my army of goon lawyers who will then spread conspiracy theories like yeah. whatever fucking Lynn Wood is now saying. It's like some, I don't know. There's like some reptile squad he's talking about. Now.
Yo, this is my shit.
Yeah. Your bread.
I can
and
tell
butter.
You the entire history of. The Illuminati story from, you know, the very beginning of American
from
history.
The Illuminated who yeah. would smoke weed.
Yeah, us.
Yeah. yeah. I remember. Dude, I read the Illuminati trilogy. I was like,
oh shit, yeah, dude. I was
the Illuminated.
I'm a former conspiracy theorist. That's how right. I but back when the conspiracy theories were like more on the left, you know, like
yeah,
back
yeah,
with
yeah.
like, you know, Loose Change and Zeitgeist, the movie Zeitgeist right. and all that garbage.
And then you come in and like, yeah. Well. Okay,
well, somebody said an anti-Semitic thing to me, and I was like, oh, whoa, what am I into here? And then I, you know, dove into, like, the real history of this story and how, you know, it's been
sure.
it's been sanitized, but still right. has the same heart, you know. And oof. It's just coming, and it's really coming back now with the Satanic Panic, which we
yeah.
love. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I mean, because, yeah, there are, I saw many clips of people praying for the forces of Christ to ride in on a yeah. fucking golden Pegasus to, like, bash Capitol Hill's head open and make yeah. sure that Trump remains God president forever.
And, of course, you got to get rid of the satanic pedophiles. That's
right.
the, you even can't leave
important.
Those alone.
But
yeah.
then, what's this photo of your president with said satanic, is there any
infiltrating.
Rub-offs? Satanicness, Satanism? Running off.
And also, cognitive dissonance.
Shout out to Satanists who are also like up in the courts now
oh, yeah.
doing their thing too. Be like, okay, well, you know, if people want to throw around their freedom of religion to fuck with people, many people can play that game too.
Yep.
Anyway, so shout out Satan. I remember the first time someone was like, do you even know what Satanism is? Because I said, like, this is like maybe in college and like, you should
yeah.
read it. And I was like, because Christ is about abstinence. Okay. Whereas like Satan is about indulgence to a certain point and understand. I'm like, okay, whoa.
Do what thou wilt will be.
Yeah, I was just like reading things like, if you can't respect someone, do not have them in your home. I'm like, yeah. yo, that's just actually good, man. Like, don't be fake. Okay,
yeah, it's
Satan.
Real. It's very chill. It's a very chill religion.
Yeah. yeah. No one on a reality show is a Satanist. That's what we found out because there would be no drama if you followed these things. But
that makes sense. Yeah.
this, yeah, I don't know. The whole evolution of this pressure campaign to thwart the will of the people, it's really something. And even like to how we cover elections, like we're also looking at this isn't getting better because Fox and OAN and Newsmax, they all stay on their version of like slightly just keeping that pot just stirring a little bit. Never fully dumping it out and being like, no, you got to get off that. I mean, some parts of Fox have, but it's clear that since ratings is their god, then they just have to pivot to like feeding as much airtime to these fantastic nonsense as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as we were talking about, I guess the strategy would be that he has leverage in Georgia because he knows that they want to turn out the vote and win the Senate seats. And so I think his strategy is probably, you know, use that to be like, this would energize the people. The people are mad. If you overturn the presidential election, then you're going to have get them energized. Otherwise, you have this, you know, he's basically holding them hostage. But he's, I mean, it's straight up like the, it's as bad as the Watergate tapes. Like he's just on the phone days before the election being like, find me, you know, hook it up.
Yeah.
And threatening them with legal action.
There was something like being, he tried to call Brad like 18 times or some shit before he picked up.
Damn.
Like after that, I was like, fuck, all right, I have to fucking talk to this fool. He's like, you got all the recording gear ready?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
He was hey, Guru, hey, Guru, turn me up in my headphones. Okay. Hit him with the flutes.
Oh, boy.
Just one thing about all this, as we talk about this and laugh about it, these are crimes, okay?
Yes, yes, of course.
As much as we're like, this motherfucker is so bad on the phone. That is, you know, so many legal experts are like, so I think we need to, y'all need to impeach him again. Yeah. Are there going to be investigations? This is like election fraud that he's attempting. And these are like things you can't pardon yourself from.
Right. Is that true? You can't pardon yourself from them?
No, unfortunately, in this country, you cannot do that. Because these are also charges, would be state charges too.
Oh, they're state charges.
So,
okay, right.
Yeah,
right.
It's all kinds of bad. But yeah. I don't know. But that's the other thing
who
is
knows? Yeah.
We have all these moments where are we like everything's so the wheels are completely have come off this thing. Our soapbox derby car is fully on fire. And I don't know if we're still have enough to have any kind of reckoning about anything. And we're just going to set ourselves up for something worse next time if we don't do anything.
Right. One thing that, you know, as the landscape is changing and, you know, a Democrat is entering the White House, the right, the conservative media is kind of scrambling to be the next Fox News because Fox News took a hit when they didn't go along with Trump's attempt to invalidate the election. And Ben Shapiro has his eyes on Hollywood, baby.
Fuck yeah.
Stars in his eyes.
Look, with the help of his cousin, Mara Wilson of Mrs. Doubtfire fame, they're teaming up. No, I'm joking. I know they're cousins, but they don't talk. So the Daily Wire, like you said, they're dipping their foot in. His the co-founder or partner at the Daily Wire, this guy, Jeremy Boring. Great name. Have talked about, you know, like why they're dabbling now. Okay, so I just want to this is what their 10,000 foot view is of their new production company called Phobia Films. It's called, I don't know what it's called actually, but this is what he said. Right now, we're developing three projects internally, two series and a feature. Since announcing our move into the space, we've heard from quite a few filmmakers with outside-the-box pitches unlikely to find a home in the current political climate. Mm. If people continue to subscribe, as we believe they will, we'll be acquiring more and more projects. If you're fed up with the cultural edict of our country's self-appointed moral overlords in Hollywood and legacy media, stay tuned. That was sort of the, okay. Now, I'm curious what kind of pitches that means, because these are great euphemisms. Outside the box pitches, unlikely to find a home in the current political climate. So you mean problematic, dumb shit that no self-respecting person would touch because it's dangerous and toxic to people that would view it. But okay. Right. But
do you guys
bang
ever,
on.
Like, do you guys ever think about what Republicans watch on TV? Because there's not, like, I guess it's like prime time, right? Because it's like, if you watch Netflix, it's just not going to be something I feel like conservative Christian Republicans are going to want to watch. And I settled on probably just like a lot of Hallmark.
Nah, they vibe with all of it. They just hate that they don't have anything as good. They're like, I love this show.
Yeah, I just have like weird sitcoms.
I hate what Kerry Washington says out loud. I just like when she's Olivia Pope. But yeah, I don't know.
I think you're onto something with Hallmark, though. I mean, those we've examined the ideological content of Hallmark movies.
And, beautiful!
You know,
no magic, no magic in the Christmas ones.
Oh, really?
I've tried writing Christmas movies. That's a thing I heard. They don't develop Christmas films that have magic in them.
Not anymore.
I don't
because
think
there
so.
Used they, to be.
There yeah. used to be, and there was yeah. a moment, I think, because they were getting more of a Christian conservative audience, and they didn't like the right. blending of any kind of mysticism around the Messiah's birth, okay? Even if it is for a high school couple to fall back in love when homeboy moves mm-hmm. back from the city.
That's always, did you guys, I cannot remember the name of it, but Melissa Joan Hart just dropped a Christmas movie, and she is playing the number one podcaster in America, and it's a Christmas, it was... They do not know what podcasts are. She did a live podcast at one point, and all of her friends and family were standing outside. And someone goes,
oh my God.
Your podcast's gone viral. Or no, she goes, my podcast's gone viral. And we're just kind of like, okay.
I have to see this.
Yeah, you got to. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it.
It's called, oh, wow.
What is it?
It's called Stream It or Skip It. Oh wait, no! I'm sorry. That's the Decider article.
Yeah,
it's called Dear Christmas.
Christmas.
To your point, Chelsea, literally, this description as America's number one podcaster.
And you never really understand what her show's about. It's kind of like about Christmas relationships. I can't figure it out.
A holiday rom-com about a podcaster having some will-she-won't-she flirtation with a tow truck driver.
Yeah, wow. It's like the whole, like, she comes back and, like, meets a working-class man. And, like, you know, it's the template. It's it.
Right.
It's the same. Every movie's pretty much the same. I prefer the murder ones also on Lifetime. Those are,
Yeah.
Perfect.
Those are always fantastic.
What was the one that we watched on Netflix that was basically a Hallmark movie just without, like, with a slightly better cast? It was like something, The Runaway, The Lost Husband or something, where she goes to a farm.
And, oh, you watched that one.
Yeah, that's right. I watched that one. It's
is that the one with Katie Holmes?
No.
Oh, no,
that was another movie that came out recently.
But it was in the top 10, and... You know, its political content is very much the city and even the suburbs are evil and living on a farm is the only good way. And the male romantic lead is a apocalypse prepper.
Yeah, because if you have neighbors that are diverse and different in you, they can point out the bullshit that you're on.
Right.
That's why I prefer the farm, where it's quiet and I can exist without any feedback on how I'm treating people. But not to, you know, stray too far from Ben Shapiro's exploits, I do want to say that this film, they have a film that they acquired in Venice, okay?
Wow.
So this is great. Right now, so if you want to know what's going on with them, oh boy, because like you said, outside the box in a political climate that is unnice to nasty people, the film they're making is called Run, Hide, Fight. And this is from Jeremy Boring. This film is ultimately a movie about courage in the face of evil. This is a gut-wrenching film that does not offer easy talking points, which is why liberal Hollywood executives have refused to distribute it. It's about a mass shooting. Okay? That's what this film's about. Okay?
Ooh.
And this is what one of the people who made the film said. We're proud to work with the Daily Wire as the exclusive North American distributor of the film. The Daily Wire's policy of not publishing the names of mass shooters made it an ideal partner. That's all you're looking for when distributing a film? We should talk. If this film has a political viewpoint, it's that we should not make terrorists famous. It's the heroes whose names we should remember. He continued, we spent years carefully developing this movie in consultation with law enforcement veterans and shooting victims to immerse people into a realistic portrayal of what it's like to experience one of these tragedies.
Mm.
So it's NRA propaganda.
Right.
Sounds like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like,
because it's like the heroes are the ones who shoot,
yeah.
right?
Right?
The heroes shoot are back. The ones that shoot the bad guy.
And that's right. who we should make famous, the clap backers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The clappers back. Rather.
And show how everybody should be packing at school.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just but again, this is the thing. Like when they come out there and they're saying their ethos is like outside the box thinking, that just means you need some weird stuff to reinforce your fucked up worldview of like the cruel, unusual world where nobody's safe and self-reliance is the only answer. not anything else. No politician can save us with, you know, regulating these things. We must, whatever. I don't even know what the, I couldn't even bring myself to watch the trailer, but they'll probably be picking up an Oscar soon.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Can you imagine?
For that one.
Yeah.
Film watchers. All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and just checking in with a couple of the things that went viral, I believe the kids are calling it, over while we weren't recording.
Our number one podcast.
We had things that went viral.
You're going to viral. What?
Your podcast just went viral. It's like at the second she stops recording.
Exactly.
Like, it just went out on the internet. It's viral.
And then they kiss and, you know, I think maybe there, I don't know if I finished, but there might have been a hint of implication that he was Santa Claus because he was a man obsessed with Christmas. And his name, get ready, Chris Nick. Mass.
No.
No.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, yes. No,
yeah,
no,
nope, yep.
No, 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 mm-hmm. No, no, no.
It's Chris so rage Mass? Inducing. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, we're
and
gonna
he
end
loves
the podcast
Christmas.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got. I'm gonna take. I'm like that meme of Pablo Escobar Narcos meme where I'm just gonna look out, sit on a swing set by myself, a bench, just thinking about how on the nose that was. Wow,
it was Chris. It's a terror.
Mass.
Mass.
Oh, my name is Christ Moss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That would have been better.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Ilaria Baldwin, let's just play this clip of her talking. We'll start it off just like some examples of her talking in her Spanish accent.
Okay,
fully
so
authentic.
I didn't. Just full disclosure. I did the thing where I removed myself from the internet for 2 weeks.
Smart.
That's because you know, 50 weeks out of the year, we're mainlining this shit straight through our eyeballs and ears and everything. So I found out like only a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago about what had transpired. So the gist is that Alec Baldwin's wife, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mother
Hilaria,
of four of his children.
Is actually not Spanish, although she's been out here being like, I'm from Spain.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so, and I'm like, and her real name is Hillary, correct? That's the whole gag
here. She used to go by Hillary. So there's some aspects where if you wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt, you could see where it's like she went by Hillary when she lived in Boston, which I don't know. It like you have to be pretty flexible to bend over far enough to give her the benefit of the doubt, but like
right.
there's... You know, like her explanation for that is, yeah, when I was in America, I went by Hillary. And when I was with my Spanish family, I went by Hilaria.
Oh, and when I was in Ghana, I was Kwame. You know what I mean? At least I could do that. I'm black, but there, yeah, I get it. When you go to a place
right.
like, because in Ghana, like the day of the week you're born is like your nickname. So I was,
nice.
I was Saturday, I'm Kwame. And I was like, oh shit, okay. But I didn't come back on some... whatever the fuck. It's funny when people try and thread the needle, the appropriation needle like this.
Right.
It's
right.
a needle you can't thread. If the needle says appropriation, don't thread it. Because
yeah.
when you do, you're engaging in it. So I guess this is a supercut, Jack, you found, because 6 times her dubious accent has gone wrong on camera.
Yes.
How's married life?
Married life is really nice. You know, it feels different. It really feels different. But I didn't think it was going to be different, but it feels quite different.
What's the thing that surprised you the most?
I think just the fact that
how
it feels
you
different.
It.
You know, we like to say husband and wife a lot.
Yeah.
I call him husband now. I say, husband, where are you? Well, he took me out to Montauk. He said that was as close as he could get to Spain, to my family, and to Rome, because we really like Rome as well. And, he got down on his knee, and then I don't remember the rest because I started crying.
And ooh. Then we went to Montauk because he wanted to say that it was like Mallorca and to remind me of my family in
right.
Spain. And that was just so chill the way he did that. Was so actually like
really,
really, really thoughtful of him.
I mean, that's one thing is that it doesn't seem like she's trying to hide the fact that she's going back and forth between.
This
the
is
two
sloppy.
It is sloppy, but listen to this next one. This next one is really
oh, this
good.
Is even... Okay, like, they're
yeah.
Okay.
We have very few ingredients. We have tomatoes. We have, how do you say it in English? Cucumber?
Cucumbers.
It's not easy, and I think...
How you say in English?
Wait.
Oh,
cucumbers?
Come on, Pepino, mamita. Come on. We got to know these things. If we're going to scam, get the fucking vocab right. Do we go
bizarre.
Further? Do they
no,
get better?
No, it's fine. The rest of it is more people being like, and this is how she actually talks, which you kind of heard at the end of the story of she and Alec getting engaged, which is just, you
is
know.
Any of her, is she a descendant of any person who is a Spaniard?
So she's like, my family is lots of
Jack,
different
you're,
things.
You're sounding like her now. Yes or no?
She says
Rachel,
her family's
Rachel
lots of different things.
So yes or no?
She also, she does have relatives who live there, but she claims
Jack,
she was born in Spain
so
and
weird.
She's not from Spain. She was not. She was born in Boston.
Oh my God.
Not in Boston
I don't know.
Of
so
all
the
places.
Thing, I'd knee-jerk get, I have a like a little bit more hesitancy when it comes to like, I don't know, because we work in podcasting and we see like women's voices get policed so much. I like have like a knee-jerk, you know, the way that a woman guest or, you know, whatever it is, will get like negative feedback on vocal fry. And like I speak in nothing but vocal fry, but it's like a woman will get called out for that. Like that. I don't know. Like that.
You're,
that
you were
just
trying to make
me...
sure you were applying a fucked up patriarchal double standard or something to Hilaria
right.
Baldwin.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Just I'm looking at this straight up as accent work. Okay? Yeah, if people absolutely. Listen to this show, I like accents.
Yeah,
I like absolutely. I have an ear for accents. I like to pick them apart. You know, if I was going to speak like somebody from Spain, you know, speaking like this in the back of my throat more, but because I have that experience talking to people like, I don't know, hearing this, and that's shitty, and that's offensive too. But all that to say is, looking at it like this, it grinds my gears that you are completely jettisoning who you are as a person in exchange for whatever fuckery this is, because it's not that interesting. And all it's proven, Ilaria, is that you managed to, you know, scheme or convince Alec Baldwin that you're from Spain. That's not really a feat in my eyes. So maybe, does he care anymore? Like, does he know? What does Alec know?
That is my question. That, I think, is the most interesting question.
That's between them.
How she spoke to her husband, because you notice that the accent was stronger at the beginning of the relationship, and then it starts to fade a little bit, and she's not really doing it as much anymore. If that was something that he noticed, and like what was going on in his head when that was happening.
Right.
But yeah, it's I agree, as somebody, you know, I like, you would pull this off 1,000 times better than her.
Yeah, I just like that, like, if it did slip and Alec Baldwin just so unaware and not observant at all, like, where it was, it's like, it was there the whole time, like a supercut of all these moments. Like, bro, you're not going to finish your Sam Adams, bro? All right, pal. And it's like, what, Ilaria? Yeah, I'm sorry, I said, amor, your cerveza estrella is half finished. Please party on harder. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Bless the attempted scam of Ilaria.
Yeah. I mean, attempted.
Keeps us entertained.
Yeah.
I just like the audacity, though. It's just truly, man.
Yeah.
I guess, was it her thing? I don't know if this is a thing of how someone who is so unhappy with just being, you know, a white American person, like,
yes,
that you're going like, fuck, what's the most adjacent thing I could be, believably? I'll dye my hair black or darker than it is, and I'm like, do like a Catherine Zeta-Jones, like Penelope Cruz thing, and I don't know. I mean, part of me, like, you know, I feel for that, because there's like people you go to school with who, like, you're like, oh, you changed your name. You did the whole thing. Like, you became this whole other person.
Yeah.
And I get that on one level, you know, like, we are all evolving as people, but not to the point of saying, like, you know, it's one thing, like, you're straight-laced and now you're into, like, punk rock or whatever, versus, right, like, I'm white Hillary from Boston, and now I'm Ilaria because I went to Spain once.
Yes. And you... There are definitely people I knew who went abroad for a year or a semester and came back with new personalities and, you know.
Right.
But Lindsay Lohan, you guys, like,
oh, my
Osmosis.
God.
Like, that is some, that is some deep shit.
Remember
right
that
there.
IG Live when she was trying to save that family?
Yes,
tell the people of America what you want. Like, okay, Lindsay Lohan.
We want you to leave us alone.
Yeah. And, like, that goes to say, like, what is up with, like her personal life? Like, you're saying, like, there's got to be other, and I don't mean Lindsay Lohan, going back to Ilaria or whatever. You know, like, there's got to be other stuff. Like, that's a symptom of a bigger problem. So I just wonder, like, how this affects other parts of her, or what, you know, what breeds this impetus, right, to do this.
I just thought it was fun. Just like, you know, yeah, kind of got, like, carried away. I don't know. Yeah. You never just lose yourself in an accent and you know, assumed identity.
And then just do it for 6 years.
And then do it for the entirety of your adult life.
Never do that and, like, scam people out of their organs and stuff. No.
Right.
I don't know. I just got carried away.
No, nobody does. Oh, come on.
There's definitely some subterfuge going on with regards to, like, she claims that she moved to America when she was 19 to go to NYU, and, like, she grew up, and people are like, dude, I went to high school with her. Her name was Hillary. She was just a girl from, you know, Massachusetts, from Cambridge.
Wow. I don't know.
Shout out to her.
I always, these stories are just so funny to me, because you know, because when it all falls down, you're just left with this, like, just going through, you're like, and why did you think this was working?
Yeah. We're doing a next season. I think we're going to do personality hoaxes. So each episode's going to be somebody who like, and how that's a, like how single people and stories can change the entire culture with bullshit. You know, I mean, that was the Satanic Panic was, you know, fueled by like Michelle Remembers and these fake memoirs that then affected everything. I mean, so I'm really excited about that. But this is like a mild version of somebody creating like an, I mean, there are some crazy stories that go like way back in time and too.
You know what would have been easier if she just said she was Eladia Baldwin, but she's like, nah, I grew up here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still, you know, I feel Spain in my heart. That's why I vibe like this. Yeah, and nobody would have asked anything.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
No.
That's the truth would have made her free, but she like that. That's how you can tell there's more there. Like you were saying, Chelsea, that there's like a core of, you know, dysfunction of some sort.
Well, it's an issue.
It's a rejection of your family because at that point you're no longer the person that your parents named you to be. So therefore, it's a rejection of that. Is it of a? I mean, maybe this is a whole, a line of study, a whole demand, a whole discipline can be born out of Eladia Baldwin. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Ariana Grande having grown up as Ariana Grande, like that. That was how her last name was pronounced.
Yeah, at least like, that's like a
Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just letting other people fill in the dots with her darker complexion to be like, I don't know, maybe I'm not going to say anything.
I don't know. Yeah.
And I'm just going to tightrope walk it up here.
Yeah. People were also. So Bean Dad is more recent. This is when I started wondering, like, if we're, because this dude is a total like prick. He refers to himself positively as Apocalypse Dad. Like, that's a dope thing. He's like, then I went into full the road mode. But like, none of the stuff that he's doing is cool.
Clutch my child in a bathtub.
Yeah, it's not like the whole story of the road is this dude is sacrificing everything to keep this child alive. And this dude is just arbitrarily not feeding his daughter for 6 hours
for a Twitter thread
to, you know, or to teach her some lesson about self-reliance. But it was just, and then he thought it was worth being like, and this is dope. This is how parenting should work.
Okay. Another thing, when you were writing these things down, I was like, oh, fuck, bro. I've been out the loop. I don't know who the fuck Bean Dad is.
Yeah.
I was like reading about it.
Yeah, I had to look it up too.
It's all because, and I'm curious, with you, Chelsea, you said you grew up with a prepper dad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was born out of, he said his daughter wanted baked beans and didn't know how to use a can opener. So, as he says, he found a teaching moment to have his hungry 9-year-old daughter struggle with a can opener for hours in order to like teach some lesson about how to fucking be more self-reliant. And then everyone's like, yo, this is a terrible look for you. Like, this is like it's a funny bit in a script that's a throwaway thing, but to center your identity as a father around this is a misstep.
Yeah. God.
Well, and also a big question I have is she wants baked beans.
That was my other question. That just
created
an image in my mind of his pantry just being like that. Baked beans is like one of the last canned goods that you have in your pantry you're just like, you know.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, I buy baked beans on the regular.
Yeah, no, I like baked beans a lot.
I love a baked bean.
But there's always a can of baked beans. Yeah.
There's always a can of baked beans somewhere. Yeah. Like every household, if you look long enough, has an old can of baked beans.
Yeah.
It's that and then mustard in the refrigerator, old mustard in the refrigerator are like the last two things that
are
always
like a crusty bunch of mustard in the top of it, yeah.
So the guy, the dude deleted his Twitter too?
Yeah, he deleted his Twitter because he had some wild problematic shit in the past where
like
2011 he was using the R word and gay as a like derogatory term and just not
what a shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who made his daughter the hungry can opener teacher did that.
He's homophobic. Yeah.
What is the, I mean, also like you when you're hungry, have you dealt with hungry children?
Yeah, that's the
I don't I'm not even a parent. Yeah. I've dealt with hungry nieces, nephews, my friend's kids, and I'm like, yo, you don't want anything to do with a child getting hungry because shit, all bets are off when you reach that point. I'm like, oh shit, they're frying out on lack of calories.
Yeah.
that you somehow are like, yeah, struggle, motherfucker. And then
right.
I will be the new protagonist in a Cormac McCarthy book I'm writing in my fucking mind.
Some narcissist behavior, I feel like.
Did you get any lessons like that, Chelsea? What was the closest? You like, know, what's a message your prepper father at least was like, if anything, just know this?
Well, it was a more on the spiritual side.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
Yeah, like it was a 2012 thing. So 2012 was the apocalypse versus like a biblical apocalypse, right? It was like the New Age version. Mm-hmm. So it was more like, you know, getting prepared spiritually because it was going to be, you know, the age of Aquarius. We're all going to pass into the new era of love. But first, there's going to be like all the volcanoes on Earth are going to explode at the time and, you know, floods and all of that shit. So, I mean, I learned how to like, you know, we'd watch like those Investigation Discovery shows that are really or not invest, you know, Discovery Channel where they teach you how
Survivor
to
Survivor Man.
Like purify water or whatever. And, I don't know. I mean, it was not that, but it was definitely not like it was definitely like an apocalyptic.
Yeah, but at
you
got
to get ready, you know.
Father
but
knew
I,
how
yeah,
to, yeah.
He wasn't
going to
make me not eat,
right?
You know what I mean. But I was also older. You know, this was 2012 is more recent than I was like a late teen. It was always there. You know, it was always like, here's a bunch of water. Here's a bunch of canned food. We're ready for X, Y, and Z. You know, it was same thing with Reagan and nuclear war. You know, nuclear.
Nuclear.
I'm working on it.
Nuclear.
I get a lot of complaints. That's like one of my number one.
Oh,
that's
my favorite Simpsons line,
dude. What was it?
Well, because he says he's like Homer saying nuclear and someone saying nuclear and he's like nuclear.
That's me. I was with George Bush. It's not my fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, just to let people know, I will only be drinking Dunkin' coffee from now on because they have introduced. I mean, Starbucks kind of did this with their blonde roast, but Dunkies is like straight up making it the point that this has extra caffeine.
Mm. Extra charged coffee, they call it. And so and I only bring it because we always talk about whenever there's new caffeine and you're the caffeine goat, where no amount of caffeine in your stomach will affect you like a goat. We're in this one. OK, we're talking 20% more caffeine for you as someone who's got his eye on Caffeine Tomb Raider or whatever that website is. Caffeine Observer.
Informer.
Yeah.
Which is just as ridiculous. I'm like, no, Miles. Caffeine Informer.
Caffeine Tomb Raider, Caffeine Informer. Caffeine Tumor Rater. This Caffeine Informer, I pulled up what their caffeine MGs are as they stand. What are we talking about when we're adding another 20% on this?
So, I mean, you go on a small, you go from 150 milligrams to 180. That's the extra charged small. On extra large, though, extra charged, which is 24 fluid ounces, normal coffee is 360 milligrams, too much caffeine for anyone sitting. Extra charged is 431 milligrams. That's...
What are you likening that to? Because as you just said, 360 at 24 ounces is way too much.
Yes.
You drink if let's say what happens to Jack O'Brien, he slangs a 24-ounce 360 milligram.
I get nervous. I feel bad about myself.
Oh,
I start.
Right.
It just like turns on itself. You know, it's like too much.
That's where you cross the Rubicon.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, some people are... I just feel like when you're at that level of like caffeine dependency, it starts to turn on itself a little bit, or at least it's affecting how you behave the rest of the day. In my experience, but other people, you know, other people have bodies that are just like unbreakable. They can
I want to sip that because I it's weird. I'm caffeine sensitive to a point. But there are definitely times when I can just out of nowhere be like, oh, I'm having a panic attack from caffeine.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to do it on an episode, on an upcoming episode. I'm going to take the extra large to the dome.
You just hear like this like tapping. You're like, what is that? Oh, it's Jack's sweat dripping under the mic.
It shorts out and that's the last you hear of me.
oh, shit.
All right. Chelsea, it has been so fun having you, as always, on the podcast. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find us. Our show's American Hysteria, and it's on probably all podcast apps within reason. And you can also find us on Twitter at Amer Hysteria and on Instagram at American Hysteria Podcast. And yeah, thank you both, Jack and Miles. This has been so fun. I love coming on your show.
It's always so fun.
Yeah.
And not our show. It's always so fun having you. Yeah. It's always so fun.
Thank you.
Every other time.
Well, it is. Yeah. That's fair.
Where and is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh yeah, I have one tweet here from December 31st from Solomon Giorgio, and it just says, "If you didn't accomplish anything in 2020, it's okay because nobody cares." It's kind of nice. It's like a good mantra, really. Nobody gives a fuck.
Miles, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray, and also other podcasts, 420 Day Fiancé, Talking 90 Day Fiancé. It's been a while since I've had to run through all this at the end of an episode, so bear with me. Okay, a tweet that I like from my co-host on 420 Day Fiancé, Sophia Alexander, at the Sophia, S-O-F-I-Y-A, tweets, "Bean Dad, but it's me teaching dudes to find the clit."
Just laying there for 6 hours.
That's a good one.
then you the real bean daddy.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I've been enjoying: Emma Manzini tweeted, "A shark could swim faster than me, but I could probably run faster than a shark. So in a triathlon, it would all come down to who is the better cyclist."
That's so nice.
Oh, shit.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this new year upon?
Oh, man. So on January or December 31st, we found out that MF Doom passed away back in October. I think anybody who, you know, likes hip hop has intersected with his work at some point or another. I fucking love MF Doom. All the shit that was coming, like when he was really putting shit out, like Mad Villainy and the King Ghidorah, all this stuff. This was coming out when I was like in high school, going into college, and you're very much like, you know, that's like a very formative period for your music listening. So hearing that like really kind of turned me on to getting off with like bling bling rap, which I was very much into going into the 21st century for all the youngins out there. And like going in and just like, you know, getting into this really lyrical hip hop. He was one of the just greatest rhyme speakers, sayers. I fucking love all of his work. So this is a track with him and another person who is dear to my heart, Jay Dilla. It's called Gazillion Ear, and it's from the 2009 album Born Like This. But yeah, this is just get into MF Doom. It's one of those people where you'll probably, if you just heard about it, it's because even artists who you liked, who you didn't necessarily associate with hip hop, were like, man, MF Doom, that's fucking heavy. And then pretty much anyone who like is a rapper paid their respects because, you couldn't be into this and not fuck with metal fingers. So, shout out to you. Rest in peace. And get into the music. And also, you know what? Tell somebody you love them today. You never know, because you never know. Just tell somebody. Really, it seems weird to do, but just let people know. Let them know. That's a good thing to do.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Villain man, never ran with crows in his hand, and won't stop rocking till he clocked in a gazillion grand. Tilling the wasteland sands, raps on backs of treasure maps, stacks to the ceiling fan. He rests on his ashes, ask him after 10 miles of his galashes, smash his stashes. Chip on his shoulder with a slip-on holster, a clip, a folder, and his grip on a boulder bolster. They supposed to know, his show in his aura glow. Get from out the road when he get dough, it's horrible. Time is money, spend, waste, save, invest, affest. The 10K of cave, a chicken chest, S. Yes, y'all a double get your trickles. The best ball is pitch in and rub to get a nickels. But tut, tut.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.